Welcome to episode number 21 of the Inside Running Podcast. Happy 21st birthday, fellas. We've made it 21 shows.
Damn.
Don't sound too excited.
Couple of podcast players now.
We've made it in life, eh? Made it in life. Thanks to Runner's Tribe, sponsoring this week's show. As always, some amazing content on there. And, yeah, I just always make sure I get my running news from there, especially this weekend, or this weekend gone with all the half marathon world champ news going on. How are you going, Brad? Brad's back from school camp. That's why we're a bit later in the week this week.
Yeah, I've been following much of running news this week. I've been under the pump a bit, so looking forward to 4 days off.
4 days off.
Catch up on some sleep and, yeah, then four-day weekend.
Have you started school holidays?
Easter. Nah.
Oh, well, we've started school holidays.
We've got 2 weeks to go.
Oh, really? Yeah, nah. Yeah. We're on holidays now. We're done.
There you go. I've only got four days off.
Oh, that's all right. It's not too bad. Julian, how are you tracking at your end over that bout of sickness?
Yeah, got through it. Still alive. Back to eating well again. I can stomach everything. Don't get stomach aches out on the run. So I'm good.
It was
ticking along.
It was actually interesting listening to that other podcast you're on, The Hidden Athlete, and just hearing how much Bree looks after you at home. Did you hear that stuff, Brad? Did you listen to that one?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
Get around to that after you listen to Ross Murray.
Yeah, it's on. I might get to that over Easter.
I'm still waiting for you folks to tell me how good that interview was. You listen to it yet, Julian?
No, but someone asked me about it today, and I said, "Oh yeah, I heard that one's good. I'll have to listen to it."
Yeah, it's the most downloaded show. It's like smashing all the downloads on the other ones. I think it was heaped on Twitter, so maybe picked up some UK listeners that episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, better than Skillsy's one.
Well, I want to get to that now because we forgot to say last week that just how good that interview was. Maybe we rushed past it. And Trevor Vincent last week. But, yeah, Nath Hardigan 2 weeks before. That was an absolute cracker.
Yeah, he's a funny man, and he's got some good stories. Like, I talked with Skillsy about putting I thought maybe we could get him on once a month for a Skillsy story time. And he just sort of recounts one of the many Sunday long run stories that he's got that we all love. Thought he could share one of those maybe once a month.
Yeah, what was he saying? I think I said that same thing to you. Like, we've got to get him on for a segment now and then. He's actually a perfect replacement if you're ever sick as well, I reckon. Just he's just as loose, I reckon.
You might have to do some more cutting if you got him on.
Yeah, true. Cutting is a massive pain.
There'll be some more editing on your part, that's for sure.
Yeah, we don't like that. Was he happy with that suggestion? Let's get him on once a month.
Oh, mate, yeah, no, he loves it. He loves a bit of Skillsy time, don't worry. He's all about it.
I actually listened to it twice. It was that funny. Like, and that ice addict story when he got that punch on. That was a cracker. Oh,
you know, the funniest thing about that was in the Courier, the local paper, like they did an article on him pre-race and he said, oh, yeah, and I was running along and I got hit by a car and I hurt my leg. And everyone that knew him, like before he even finished his cool down on that run, he had called us and told us the story from start to finish. And then he made one phone call, then another phone call, then another phone call, and told the entire running group before he had even finished his cool down. That's how stoked he was about that whole story.
Yeah, it was a good one.
My favourite part was when you had the discussion with him about weighing up, you know, full work versus being like a full-time athlete, and he's like, you know, yeah, it'd be awesome to represent Australia, but not so cool if you have to use the Australian kit to make a teepee to live or live under a bridge. Sums up the whole, like, really sums up the life of probably a full-time athlete in Australia, that, you know, it's not a sport where you make a lot of money from. So, I thought that was quite funny the way you put that.
Yeah, he's seen it up close. He's been part of a few training groups, like maybe a few runners that are struggling or that get a lot of help from whatever their parents or whatnot. And so he it's certainly not attractive to him as a lifestyle, I don't think.
What about when he got talking about, here we are just recapping an episode from 2 weeks ago, but what about when he was talking about how bad Mona is at banter?
Yeah. Fence sitter.
Yeah. Very good. All right, let's get on with the show. Julian, take us through your week. What'd you get up to? Now, this is tricky. We're going up, it's Friday now when we're recording, but we're going the whole last week.
Last week? Oh, yeah. So when I was sick, right?
Yeah, so you finished Run for the Kids on that Sunday. Talk us through Monday to Sunday. Finish at the U-Gangs.
Yeah. Oh, so Sunday. Did I talk about the... Yeah, okay.
No, finish on.
Yeah, finish on the U-Gangs. Yeah. So Monday, ran to Radford, did a strength session. Still doing that once a week at the moment. In the afternoon, I went and ran in the hills. So I'm trying to, like, purposefully run more in the hills. Monday's a day off, so Bree came out on her bike. She got a cyclocross, like a it's like a road bike that's sort of designed to go on dirt roads as well. So she came out and ran the road with me, which was pretty fun. Then that night is when I got sick. So I basically got sick at about 9:30, sitting on the couch, threw up all night. Stopped throwing up about 9 a.m. on Tuesday. So I missed an entire night's sleep. And then Tuesday, I was a bit too sick to actually sleep. Like, I was just really ill and feverish. So got a bit of sleep Wednesday night. Had to go to work because it's what we do. Because Bree actually got sick on the Tuesday. So I was sick Monday night. Bree was sick Tuesday at work. We battled through. I worked Wednesday. Had a couple of the boys help us out here. And then I had to run club on Wednesday night, which was pretty average, really. So I got 6.7K over the 2 days, which hurts my mileage. At the moment, like, I care about my mileage. And as I was throwing up into the toilet bowl, I'm thinking, how am I going to get my bloody 24K in today? No chance of it happening. I got out on Thursday. I had a day off work, so I thought, oh, I should be able to get it up again. Ran a couple of times. Fuck, it just feels horrible when you're coming back from a virus. Like, no energy whatsoever. Pretty nauseous. Your guts are messed up. You're kind of feverishly hot and cold. So they were two very average runs. Friday, in the morning, went out for 16K through the hills again. Again, she didn't feel very good, but got it done. In the evening, just cruised around. Pretty gross still through this time, to be perfectly honest. Like, wasn't feeling real good. Saturday, I did a short workout on Saturday morning where I did 4x6 minutes at around threshold pace. So I was starting to feel better. I did started parkrun out of pure coincidence. I was about to start my workout and then parkrun was about to start and I was right next to it. So I thought, oh, I'll jump in. That was pretty fun. Like, it's nice to do a workout when you have people cheering you. It keeps you going. But it was quite funny because I caught up with the leader about maybe a kilometre from the finish and passed him. And then with about 500 to go, I had an off. And so I just started jogging and he went past me. And then second place went past just as I got my rest finished. So we had a bit of a sprint to the finish. Well, I didn't really go through the finish, but gave him a little spur along. And then I finished the rest of my workout, which interestingly didn't go very well. Like, the first couple were all right, but then I just started feeling gross. I turned my pace off, looked at my heart rate, and just made sure I didn't get crazy and over what I should be for a threshold workout. And then saw the pace at the end and thought, oh, yeah, that's not impressive. We'll put that one behind us.
Did you scan the barcode at Parkrun?
No. Yeah. I didn't even have a barcode there because I didn't even think I was going to do it.
Didn't put your name down a volunteer in a couple of weeks' time or anything?
Maybe.
What about this Muppet Brad? Every time the Chuka Moama Facebook page asks for a volunteer, he gets on there and tags me, and I'm the one who puts it on Facebook. Like, I'm the admin of the actual Parkrun page. He thinks it's funny. Yeah. Like, you idiot.
A little bit.
Moose will volunteer, but he'll take the van down as well and try and sell a couple of pairs of shoes.
Yeah, exactly right. Something dodgy.
Well, funnily, the parkrun has a national sponsorship with the Athlete's Foot, I believe, now. I don't think they've rolled it out yet, but they've announced it. So there's no way we can get involved. But that doesn't stop me going down, doing a workout next to parkrun and parking the van right in the viewing point of the entire parkrun. So, but that's just convenience. I need a car, and that's when I do my workout. And I thought, I might as well take the van, get a bit of love. Anyway, Sunday, I had an engagement party Saturday night. Hutchie and Michelle, listeners, actually, of the show. So had their engagement on Saturday night, so drove down from Ballarat after work. Didn't really, since gastro, the beers have been tasting a bit funny. I haven't really been loving it, which is quite good. I've cut my beer intake right down. And so I wasn't feeling it Saturday night. So we kind of left a bit earlier. And I knew what was coming up on Sunday, the Ueys, three laps of Great Circle Drive, which is about a 12 and a half, kind of 13K loop that runs around the Ueyangs. It's I think it's a state park, the Ueyangs. And it's a dirt road. For the three laps, I got 37K with 713 meters climbing, which is a fair bit. But it really comes from two solid hills. And one of them is just absolutely nails you. It's I think it goes for about 6 or 7 minutes. And it's pretty steep. So we know it's coming every time. Normally we do two laps out there and it's pretty brutal. So the third lap really cooked me. And I wanted, the goal was to pick the pace up a little bit on the third lap. I had a few blokes with me the first two laps, and the last one I was by myself for the second half of it. And, yeah, I put myself in a bit of a hole. Had the heart rate going, got way up there, and then was running downhill for the next 6K and could not get my heart rate below about 145, even going downhill. And then any time I would get to a slight hill, it would just go nuts. So, and I was feeling every bit of that. I really cooked myself on that run.
That's a bit of the sickness hanging around though, wouldn't it? That's nothing to get worried over.
Could be. I put it down to that. And the fact that 700 metres is a fair bit of climbing.
Mm.
And 4:12 pace on that's pretty solid. I've done faster out there for further. But I think the sickness still. And then I got out in the Arvo just to roll the legs over. Felt better at the end, which was good. Always feel better after those Sunday second runs. So, yeah, that's my week, 146. But I reckon I average probably 28K a day with that bloody rest day pissing me off, sitting there like a sore thumb on my program.
Don't stress about that. How many weeks you got to Great Ocean Road? Still got plenty of time, haven't you?
Seven from this Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heaps of time.
Heaps of time. Yeah. All right. Any questions there, Brad?
No, I didn't think the wise man would be so concerned about hitting a certain mileage every week.
Neither would I.
I thought it'd be more I just need to listen to my body here, but it seemed like he was just pushing the envelope a bit.
Especially trying to play catch up a bit.
Yeah. Yep.
Normally I wouldn't be, but one of the purpose of these, the goal or the aim of the next block of my training was mileage focused. And so that's why it annoys me, because it was kind of my focus.
But you still can't. If that is the focus. But if you're sick, then you just you scrap it. You can only do what you can do.
I agree.
And just because you can do something, just because you can run 28K a day for those days that you're not sick, doesn't mean you should.
Yeah,
that is some wise words.
Sounding like the 71st quickest marathoner in Australian history, right there, I reckon.
I still do plenty of stupid things.
Yeah, let's hear about your stupid things. What do you got for the week, Brad? Tell us about it.
So I kicked off the start of the week with just a couple of 1-hour runs. So Monday, just an hour at 4:05s, Tuesday an hour at 4:07s, and then what did I do on Wednesday? I did pretty much another hour at 4:10s, and had a little jog with the outdoor ed class. They had to go from the school down to the swimming pool, so they all jumped on their bikes and I just ran down. So that was sort of good just to – so I ran sort of 3:35s for 3.5K, and that was like, I guess, the quickest I've run since the marathon, and felt pretty good doing that. So then the next day I decided to sort of have my first session back, and did a 30-minute tempo slash progression. So I sort of started at 3:22s and worked down to 3:10. So I ended up averaging 3:16s for 30 minutes. Felt pretty good. Coach wasn't too impressed that was my first session back. He's like, it's probably a little bit too hard. And from that point on, he goes, maybe I should start writing you a bit of a program again, just so you don't like cook yourself too much. Because we sort of said that Easter Monday would be sort of the first, I guess, structured week back. Anyway, so that was Thursday. I was pretty happy with that because you never know how the first session after a marathon is going to feel. Then got out on Friday afternoon out at Mulligan's for an hour at 4:13s. And then Saturday, I did a session. I haven't done this one for a while, but I really enjoyed it. It's 5 minutes, 4 minute, 3 minute, 2 minute, 1 minute off anywhere between like 60 second and 90 second float. So I did the warm up and I felt horrible. Just dragging my ass around going, this is going to be a struggle. But then once I actually got into the session, ended up feeling pretty good. So I ended up averaging 3:12s for 20 minutes. So that obviously included all of the floats. And so I guess because each rep gets, I guess, a minute shorter, the pace generally like increases. So the first 5 minutes was like 3:11. All of my floats were around 3:45 pace. So I went, 3:11s, floated for 90 seconds, then went 3:07s for the 4 minute, floated 90 seconds, 3:02 for the 3 minute, and then floated for 1 minute, 2:56 pace for the 2 minute, 1 minute float, and then 2:44 for the last one. So I was actually really surprised how good my speed was, off sort of not having done a lot, and also how well I was recovering off sort of 3:45 kilometer pace for like a minute after some pretty sort of longish reps. I was pretty happy with that one. And then Sunday, the last two Sundays have been an absolute struggle. I don't know if it's just mentally that, you know, I don't really have anything big coming up and then I'm out there for close to 2 hours, or whether I've just lost a little bit of strength over the last month, but it's been a complete grind. Plus, the last two Sundays, the weather's been really hot and windy, which probably makes it a little bit tougher. But did an hour 50 at 4:10s, so 26.4K, and that was 125K for the week. So nothing major in terms of mileage. Pretty happy with how the sessions went. So that was my week.
Are those sessions too quick, wise man, off the back of a marathon?
No, they're not too quick if they feel good.
They blew my mind when I saw him. Doesn't look like he's lost any fitness.
Yeah, he's still pretty good.
But having said that, like, you look at, you know, since the marathon, I took 4 days off and I've run pretty much every day since. So, yeah, I haven't been running a lot of mileage, but I don't think you actually lose fitness if you continue to jog. You just sort of maintain, like, yeah, sure, I'm probably not marathon fit. If I had to run a marathon next week, it probably wouldn't be great because I haven't done long runs for, you know, probably what, close to 6 weeks really, other than the marathon. But I still think that those sessions over 20 to 30 minutes, you don't lose too much of those as long as you're still running.
Mm. Did Ben end up, your coach end up taking over the program that second half of the week?
He was happy for me to sort of choose a session on Saturday, and that's when I suggested the 5:4:3:2:1, and he said that's fine as long as the 5 minutes is more sort of marathon pace, and as it turned out, it was still like a little bit quicker than that. But he was sort of, he was surprised how quick my last couple of reps were as well. So, yeah, so it was good signs, I guess. Yeah.
Mm, good work, good work. I'm starting to roll at my end. Got another big weekend. 8K Monday morning, 4:33s, 16K in the afternoon at 4:29. Tuesday I did a session. It was 3x3K with a K jog in between. And I went totally on feel. So had my stopwatch, my wristwatch set on just the time of day. And I did it down at Scenic Drive, which is kind of like this bush. Really scenic, looks over the Murray River most of the way, but it's not as fast as the industrial estate. Went down there intentionally. It's got markers every 500 metres, but didn't look at the clock and just went from the start line there to the 3K mark and hit split, wouldn't look at it, and then went up to the 500 metre mark and did a Yui and, yeah, back again. So ended up hitting maybe, I haven't got splits in front of me, but I think it was 9:38, 9:43 and 9:30 for the 3Kers. With the K jog in about 4:05. I was relatively pleased with that because it was, yeah, it didn't feel extremely hard. And it, yeah, it was good just not having that pressure of the watch. And yeah, it was kind of real liberating, just kind of, it was almost exciting at the end, getting to stop the watch and then look at the data and not letting that control your thoughts during the actual session. And I think you said about 6 weeks ago, Brad, that I should have just put my stopwatch away post marathon and yeah, just go and feel a bit. So really enjoyed that. Gym in the afternoon on, oh, actually after that, Ben Pearson, a listener to the show, has bought a couple of pairs of shoes off Julian. He stole one of my course records, just after Nobioka. We've got this sand hill around Scenic Drive that goes like 100 metres. And, yeah, he took it off me just after the Nobioka marathon. And I thought after the session, I was still feeling pretty good. I'd have a bit of a crack at that. And, yeah, kind of absolutely hammered it. I remember running over the top of the hill. And I thought, there's no way I can do that any faster. That's going to have to be good enough to get the course record. And, yeah, didn't. Still missed it. So a bit of an attempt gone wrong there. But, yeah, good on Ben Pearson, who's, yeah, Julian's favourite customer and got a bit of toe about him. And he's still the Sand Dune Blast, I think it's called, course record holder. So that didn't go down real well. Gym in the afternoon and then a run from the gym, 7.5K at 4:30s. 8K Wednesday morning and then 90 minutes on Wednesday afternoon. So that's a pretty big day. That's about 28K day. 6K in the morning Thursday. And then Thursday afternoon, I've spoken about him a couple of times on the show, but Archie Reed is a 16-year-old kid and is an 8:55 3K guy. And Julian, he actually ran that 10K with you at Vic Countries, South Bendigo uniform, blonde hair. I think he might have been third or fourth overall, yeah, just a junior kid. Yeah. Yeah, he runs about
someone else there.
Yeah, he runs about 32.5, I think, for 10K. So he's better at the longer distances, but his coach is a guy called Laurie Edmondson. And I think every town's got an older gentleman who's a kind of athletics coach or who uses a stopwatch and just loves the sport dearly. And yeah, he's all about trying to get his speed down. So he's been doing a speed session every Thursday. And because I kind of haven't got much on my agenda at the moment, I kind of messaged him and said I'd love to do some work with Archie and we can keep each other company. And I just said I'll rock up at the track every Thursday night and do whatever you boys are doing, because it's kind of my third most important session of the week. And yeah, emailed me mate Ben, who I just spoke about, who's got a bit of speed about, and he came down as well. And then we'll warm me up and saw Glenn, who's another guy who listens to the podcast every week, and he runs on the pro circuit, so he's off to Stool this weekend. And we had four of us warming up together, and then Laurie told us a session, which is 8x200 with 100 metres jog, and it was so good. I worked out, it's the first time in 7 years I've done a workout with anybody. So, yeah, I've had guys help me on bikes and stuff before, or people maybe, you know, do the first half of the rep and then pull out and jump into every second rep. But, yeah, we decided to do with 8 reps and 4 of us there. We had 1 rep each at the start, and then we were just going to see how everyone was feeling in the second half. So it was just good to be amongst bodies and not have the pressure on to look at your watch and lead every rep. And they weren't startling fast. I think the fastest 200 was a 31 and the slowest might have been a 35. But off the 100 jog in about 25, it was good to tick the legs over and just good to almost get those competitive kind of feels flowing a bit. So really enjoyed that. And just trying to, yeah, make sure I keep a bit of that speed in, doing the bigger mileage. and just great to warm up and warm down with people. Friday, 12K in the morning, 16K in the night. So that was a pretty big day for a recovery day, 28K. And I paid for it on Saturday when I went to do a 10K tempo. Legs were super. Well, I went to do a 12K tempo, and the plan was to do 8K at 3:30 into 4K at 3:10. And I just knew halfway through the first 8K that heart rate was way too high and the pace was, I was struggling with the pace, and I really tried to keep the tempo close as 3:30 as possible at the later stages there. But when I went to kick it down, I didn't have much left, and I capped it at, 2K kick down at 3:12 and ended up with 10K at 3:25, which was a half decent session when I looked at the heart rate average of maybe 168 or something like that. So obviously my body just sending me some messages saying that it wasn't recovered in time. Saturday afternoon, went and did the water buoying job. I volunteer for the local footy club on a Saturday afternoon and run the water for Echuca Footy Club, which is good fun. So, and it was really hot, so I was pretty busy. I put the garment on the second half and nearly covered 4K, so I probably would have got 8K up for the day. You boys ever done that before, ran the water?
Mate, I was a player.
Yeah, I was also a player back in the day.
But the water boy, you're the water boy.
I'm the best water boy in the league. I was going to put up a picture of Adam Sandler.
I wouldn't tell anybody that.
No, mate, I would say... Nah, it's the best. You think about it, it's like going to the footy, but you actually get to be out there with the players without playing. It's so cool. You get the best seat in the house. I have a ball out there. It's they kick a goal and you're kind of up and about, and geez, I got some really good story. I can't say it on air because there was just some real big swearing going on, but it was getting pretty fiery out there. Two blokes, we played a practice match against Northcote. And I'll just tell the story anyway, but I'll just change some words around. And they'd just kicked a goal, the other team, and I was giving water to one of our wingmen. And the next minute we just hear, "You effing C." And I was like, whoa, their full forward was just like furious as just abusing someone. And I thought he was abusing the guy that I was giving water to, but it turns out he was abusing his own player who was next to the player I was giving water to. So these two guys in the same team are just lipping off at each other. Like, this full forward's like, "You're dead after the game, mate. Wait till after the game." And just, like, super threatening. And then, I was kind of cacking myself because we kind of don't get that kind of stuff in running at all. And then after the game, that two players in the same team went to shake hands and cool things off, and the full forward just gave him a bit of a push and a shove, and the same players had to break it up. It was pretty fiery. So, that was good. And then went out for a 9K jog after that, just to shake it off. And then 32K Sunday morning with Tali Bird. She's back running well. So, I did 32K at about 4:26 pace, which was nice and comfortable. And, a bit humid and windy and wet and cold, but that was all good. And then no PM run. I was already at about 190K for the week. And, I've gone a bit rogue the last couple of weeks, just kind of winging my own training and probably being a bit too influenced about Julian talking about big mileage and a bit too inspired by Brad's Lake Biwa run. And then my coach Richard, who probably wasn't familiar that we did a podcast in the past, actually sent me a message just saying, "Hey, I've just discovered this new podcast, and there's a guy that sounds like you on there, and he's running 190K a week." So I can't be you, though, because you wouldn't be running 190K weeks this close to from Nobioka Marathon. So he's back for help. And we usually do a similar thing to what you were talking about, Brad. I kind of have some time off post-marathon, and I'll get myself fit and kind of wing my sessions a bit and kind of write my own program until I pick a race to focus on. And, then I end up usually doing something stupid. So it's good that Richard's got me back into line. And I'm on, probably about 160K for this week, back to kind of normal mileage. So looking forward to that. But Richard, if you hear that I did that 190K week last week, that was before you messaged me on Sunday afternoon. So, all good at my end.
Who would have thought Brady being influenced by other people?
It could be worse. It could be like getting on the Let's Run forums and doing like Renata Canova stuff.
Lucky he lives in Echuca. That's...
The funniest thing for the week for me is you chasing course records in your cool down. sprinting in your cooldown.
100 metres. Wow, that's not the only story I got about course record, because I did message you, boy. I messaged Julian during the week, because you get the notifications on your phone all the time about this person's just beaten your course record. And whenever they're locally, I just think, oh, yeah, some guy's stuffed up their Garmin, it's in their car or it's on their bike, and flag it, and it's all good, I'm back to the top. But I got a notification maybe on Friday morning that my course record around our 400-metre grass track had been broken, which was soft. It was like a 61-second 400-metre lap. Archie Reid, who I was talking about before, would have ran quicker, but he doesn't log his stuff on Strava. And, yeah, it was beaten by a gentleman from Ballarat, and I just sent you his name. I can't remember his name off the top of my head now. Julian, you might know it. And
Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason. Not sure if he listens to the podcast. If he does, I might try and figure out how to block him or something like that so he doesn't get the content every week. But that wasn't what annoyed me, because I don't mind losing course records. But when you name your run speed work and then you look at the splits and all he's done is won by 400 metres to take a course record, then I get a bit disappointed. So,
Why do you care, though?
Just name it. Just be like, I had a crack at this course record and I got it. Don't go naming it like speed work. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
You know who? Michael Kernahan has no shame doing that stuff. He is a runner from Melbourne. He gets on trains, travels 2 hours, gets out off the train, runs 300 metres, gets the course record, back on the train, 2 hours back to Melbourne.
And does he name it as like had a crack at this course record or got the course record?
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah, good. It's not like he puts it on there and says, oh, light jog off the train or anything like that. Like, yeah, you just got to be honest about these things, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't care. Like, that's just what he does. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't, like, it's still
maybe because just maybe it's not a local. Yeah. We just got to get a local back on top of that track course record.
But, just threatened. You're just insecure.
I did some speed work tonight, actually. I reckon I'm 2 weeks off having another crack at it. I think he's got it at 58 or 59, which is fast. I don't know if I can go that fast with my old legs. But, we'll see what happens. Rightio, some news for the week. Julian, World Half Marathon champs, Ali Pashley O'Kane, what was she listed as?
Don't know.
That's always can't different, remember. Yeah. That's a pretty big result, though, for their coach-athlete relationship.
The ladies both ran very well. So Ali was actually one spot behind Sinead. Sinead Diver ran, I think, 2 or 3 seconds faster than Ali, so maybe 1:11:40. Is that right? And I reckon that maybe Ali was 1:11:43 or something close to that. And they were 23rd and 24th, which is amazing, really. Top 25 at World Championships is a big deal. I mean, top 50 is a big deal. So they had amazing runs. Both ran PBs. It was pretty windy. So I'm not sure what, like, we didn't really know, when I say we, Ali and I didn't really know what Sinead's plan was, but I sort of suggested to Ali that I thought she was in sub 72 minute shape. She didn't think that she was, but I mean, you never really think that, it takes a pretty confident athlete to think that they can do things, I think. And she's probably just maybe a little humble for that. So before the race, it was quite windy. And that we didn't really know how that would play out. So part of her race plan was just to stick with a pack, make sure that she wasn't doing work for other girls and killing herself into the wind, because, I mean, it's a world champ. There's going to be so many girls that are just so keen to get the pace going that Ali shouldn't really be one of them out there. And so it sounds like, I haven't really had a big catch up chat with her, but it sounds like she found a pretty good pack, the pack that Sinead was in. And then they cruised along, like ran very evenly, and then they just dropped the hammer late and just ran away from the pack. So the last K or so was about 3:08. Which is pretty amazing, like pretty good running for those girls. It's about their 5K pace, really. So they finished that really well, finished the race well, ran a PB, top 20, 25 in the world, so it couldn't have gone much better for either of them, I don't think.
Yeah, and you actually said afterwards that now that makes Ali a gold standard athlete. Is that an IAAF gold standard athlete, which was something new to me? Can you maybe explain that?
Well, it's interesting because I didn't really know it either. I heard that I heard Coles talking about it on a run a few weeks ago. He sort of mentioned that he was a gold, he still had gold level status or something like that. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that means. And then Ali said afterwards, oh, I'm this now. And we both questioned what the hell that actually means. So I asked Tim Crosby, who will know, because he was the team manager there. He was the coach of Sinead as well. And he's said that it will help with getting access to appearance fees and races that may have been hard to get into in the past, because the like major events have got gold label status, but it's an IAAF thing. And if someone, like if a race is to maintain their gold label status, they need a certain percentage or a certain amount of runners that are gold label athletes. And so in order to get those runners to their race, they're sort of a little more generous in paying appearance fees or travel or whatever. So that's where that comes in, I believe.
Yeah, I spoke to Wayne Lydon about this when I was over in Japan with him as well. And we'll get him on the show because I've got him teed up for an interview. But he was saying that they need to have, yeah, gold label athletes to keep their status. And also they need to be from four different countries. So although there might be 200 gold, you know, leveled athletes in Kenya and Ethiopia, it's actually hard to find the third and fourth country. So it could really play into Ali's favour when it comes to race directors trying to get that fourth country represented on the start line.
Yeah, exactly. So it might not be the greatest for something like Berlin or New York, like races that everyone wants to do. But there might be some smaller, lower key races that struggle, and that's when she might be able to, I guess, access more earnings.
Coaching fees got to go up, I reckon.
Oh, got to get some sort of snippet, like, got to get some sort of cut of this.
Get her to sign a contract, 15%.
I have to put the coaching fees up, I reckon. I reckon I'm a bit lax on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're real lax. That's why you sold out. Yeah. Too cheap.
It's getting a bit busy. Anyway.
That was about the men's race.
Race. This was really interesting. So Collis was the top Australian going into the race, and he got a spot on the very start of the grid. So it looked like they'd given priority to obviously the big dogs, and he was considered a big dog, or he worked his way into the front row somehow.
Well, it's probably a gold label athlete.
Could be. That could be it. I'm not sure. We need to know that. But he was at the front line. He was the only Australian up on the front line, which is fair enough. But when the gun went, it looked like he kind of stumbled or tripped and then maybe got a bit of a shove and he hit the deck and the entire pack looked like it bloody ran over the top of him and he got spat out the back and he ended up getting up and running, having to run in between the world half field and then the fun run field, which was behind the men. And so he totally missed the pack to begin with. And so they showed a few snippets of him throughout the race and he was basically running with only one other person and by himself a bit as well. So it was just like the hardest way that he could have possibly run that race. He almost started from behind, like he missed the start totally. And he clawed his way back and Dejan Gebrselassie, he was running with the main pack for a lot of the way until he kind of got dropped when the pace got really laid down and Collis caught up to him at around, I think, about 1 kilometre to go, maybe 2 kilometres, and he ended up putting a bit of time into Dejan, maybe like 4 or 5 seconds or so. To run 63 high, and Tom DeCando ran a big PB, a really even race. He ran superbly for a 64 low time So Collis was about 60th, I think.
Yeah, 62nd, 63-44. Dejan 68, 63-47. Sorry, 66th. And Tom 72nd, 64-18. So pretty, there's 152 finishes in there as well. So that's pretty deep. And those boys are in the first half.
Yeah, it's still a great run. And I mean, I've been watching Collis do workouts. And for him to go and average 3 minutes for the half marathon after the start that he got in the wind and everything, that was just like, I was really impressed with how he got that done. Because some of his workouts have not suggested that he was going to run that, put it that way.
Yeah, and then to go down at the start.
That was the most, like, that's a tough dude that can get up after that. I would nearly be like going, oh, fuck it, I'll go and sit in the cafe and have some beers now. Like, I'm not running by myself for 20K.
Well, it seems like a lot of them did, just going by Strava, got out for like a afternoon jog. So there was no going and drinking beers.
What, the Australians?
Yeah, I think, mate, or did they do, hang on, maybe the race was in the afternoon and then that was their next morning run.
Yeah.
Was it an afternoon race?
They ran bloody 5 p.m.
Yeah, it was an Arvo race.
That's what got me, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you got the stats wrong over here. Did you get up and watch it at 3 a.m. in the morning or whatever?
No.
Nah. Considered it. But...
not that dedicated as a coach, eh?
Oh, I mean, you can't see much. Yeah. They're going to show the chick who fucking destroys everyone and runs a world record, or the guy who runs 13 minutes for 5K. They're not going to show Collis. They're not going to show bloody Ali. You don't see much. And I'll watch the replay the next day anyway.
Were you impressed with the city? Remember when you interviewed Ali, I told you that's a great city to go to? Put it on your bucket list.
That was a cool finish. So they set the finish line up over water?
Yeah.
Like a water feature? And it was amazing. It looked rad.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you caught any glimpses, but that park that they were kind of running on the roads next to, that just goes through the city. It's like an old riverbed, and it's got like athletics track in there and hockey fields and like a dirt trail that you can run on if you want to, or a marked bitumen trail. Like, it's such a good city. Definitely go there. Maybe bloody Valencia.com should sponsor next week's show.
Yeah, well, they got the money, they're splashing it.
Yeah, they certainly do. Any other news? I reckon that was about it. Do you reckon the world half marathon champs, like the half marathon, should be an event at the Olympics?
No. Look, imagine how thin that would get spread the other races.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't reckon there's enough. Yeah, but you can only put three people per country in. So Kenya and Ethiopia are still going to have quality guys walking around the half.
It's got to be a bit of tradition maintained, doesn't there?
Mm.
Like, the Olympics is...
Yeah. Like, I agree that the marathon should be in the Olympics. I think maybe the half for the Commonwealth Games would get a better field.
Because, than a marathon.
Yeah, because you look at Com Games and Kenya don't send like their best team. Whereas if it's a half marathon, top Kenyans are like, well, it's probably not going to ruin my plans too much. So yeah, it might get a better field, but I guess it's good for the Aussies, isn't it, to have the marathon at the Com Games?
Yeah, is Jeffrey Komwaru, is he signed to London or Boston or something? Has he got a marathon coming up? Because he was impressive out in front.
No, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Watch this space. We'll see in a couple of weeks, I reckon. Because, yeah, that 13:01 split from 15 to 20K, insane.
It is insane,
That'd be a world record. That's the world record, wouldn't it, for 5K on the road?
12:59.
Is it really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you consider he's done that after 15K... That's super impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah,
especially when you look at our national champs. Those guys banged it. Sorry, Brad, you go.
That was a big tailwind section, wasn't it?
I think,
from 15 to 20.
It was a tailwind, but still unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he was making a decisive move to win the race, so I reckon, he was firing on all cylinders that day. Alrighty, any other news? I think that's about it for the weekend running news. Nah. Listener question. Yep. This is a good one. I like this. I didn't give you guys long to prepare for it either, so it might be interesting to see what you get straight off the top. Shane Teller. Hey, fellas, love the show as always. I once rode in for the road to Berlin and love how you lads have continued it on Inside Running. This one might create a bit of banter amongst yourselves, and I'd be interested in your answers. He's got two parts, but we might just sit on the first one. We'll see how long this takes us. Which distance would you not want to race each other over? I'll go first. I wouldn't want to race Julian over an ultra. That'd be dangerous territory, Brad.
That's a cop out.
Yeah, Bogong to Hotham. I wouldn't want him over that.
Yeah, a trail race or anything over a marathon.
Trail cop ultra.
Cop out answer.
Everything else will smash him in if I get my nutrition right, I reckon.
You need nutrition for 10Ks now.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that later.
I'm gonna say Brady for a half marathon. You seem to have that distance. You spent a lot of time racing the half before you went to the marathon, and I reckon you've got experience there. You know how to run it well. So that's my answer. And then for Brad, I reckon he's got a good 10K still in his up his sleeve. He still does a lot of sessions that look like he's got the speed and he's definitely got the strength. So I'm going to say I wouldn't want to face Brad in a 10K. No, I can beat him over 5. Done that before.
He's ran 3:48 over 1500. You reckon you'd take him over 15?
15?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that stuff anymore. That is a different sport. That's something the kids do.
It's interesting it's only 3:48, because you find he speaks like he's always like, oh yeah, back when I was a track runner. Like, he talks like he's a 3:40 flat guy.
Back when I travelled the country, yeah, I used to race every weekend.
Back when I used to run track and I was on the circuit. 1:53, yeah, though. 1:53 is solid, Brad. But yeah. 3:48, yeah. I thought he might have been a bit quicker than that.
1:53? Yeah, gets him into, like, that's E grade at big milers.
1:53.
Yeah, I don't rate my 800 at all.
Jeez, I do.
Do you watch the milers meet?
Nah.
Nah. That's fourth or fifth round.
Oh, is it?
It's not bad for a marathoner, though, is it?
It's a pretty good range. 1:53, 3:48, 8:14. Oh, 14:20, Brad. You're a bit slower than Julian and I over the 5K.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to have another go at that.
29:40. Yeah. Yeah, I think it is risky. Like, that 2:17:28, that's almost his most impressive result on his rap sheet.
Yeah, that's the one he talks about the most too.
Well, I wouldn't want him over the marathon after that Lake Biwa performance. I've got a lot of respect for him after that. I'm still training the house down up here and getting called out for it because of that motivation is supplied for me. Brad, what about you? Smash us in everything.
No, yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I think half marathon. Like, I think Julian's got a good half marathon in him. Like, he hasn't really run too many.
My halves are only good because I spent a lot of time running them like 3 years ago. Julian, you could run it ripping half.
Oh well,
and because I think based on how he's running like marathons over the last year, and also his 5K, I think he'd have a pretty good half. And I probably wouldn't want to race you in anything where there's a kick down over the last four. So.
Julian, but you've got the biggest, more speed than Julian. What are you talking about?
No, talking about you.
Oh, me? You. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd smash you over the last four. No, I'm joking. I don't think I'd be able to beat you over anything. I think Julian, the longer the distance is, the more of Julian's mental. I reckon Julian's probably mentally the toughest. That's why he can do those, like, ultra trail, like, epic races. All right, yeah.
Winding me up here because you know talking about
bullshit. You did a whole podcast about this stuff. When I was listening to that Hidden Athlete podcast, I'm like, this guy knows. Like, he's talking about how he hits his reserves about his family deep in races and stuff like that. And I'm just like, whoa, this is he's getting real deep into this stuff.
What, you know,
I was thinking about that tonight on my run. Like, doing my strides, and I'm thinking, I've got two of those races a year that I can really dig deep in and that I can push myself. I reckon two a year is the limit that I can do that in. Every other race, I can't do it. There's only certain significant events that you can get into a place where you can basically access things, emotions and passions that you can't access in other less meaningful races. So, yeah, interesting you mentioned that. And yeah. I was just thinking that on my run today.
Because, yeah, when I heard, I know exactly where I was when I was listening to it. And I just remember like having that light bulb moment. Like that is something special that you can, you know, be late in a race and start thinking about your family and Bree and like everyone who sacrificed things for you to get every ounce out. Whereas I know, you know, been in similar situations and I just think of how tired I am and, you know, try to stay positive, but I'm not thinking about people who have cooked me dinner and things like that. It's, yeah, it's going to be a strategy I hope to implement in the future.
It was actually in a book I read that sort of showed that it works. And so then I just started to consider it. And it does work. It works big time. So you just, yeah, I know it works now. There's not a lot of times that you can do it. Like it has to really be an important event for you. And you have to probably be in the right frame of mind. And I mean, there's obviously physical limitations that prevent you from doing well as well. But yeah, I get to races now. And there's no way that I can start to, like, access that stuff. I just don't care enough. So there's, like, they're the races you think about for 12 months. They're like BWA for Brad, Berlin for us. Mm. They're the sort of it's not just a race day. It's what you've thought about every day for however long when you go running.
Yeah.
But I think what you said there about the physical limit, so I guess the difference is you can tap into that when you're hurting, but you've still paced the race really well. If you've cooked yourself and you've still got 6K to go, it doesn't matter what mental strategies you use, you're probably not, you know, you're still going to slow down because you've cooked yourself. Mm. So part of it is that whole pacing, and I guess that's where you've probably experienced, Brady, where you've got the 5K to go and you're spent and you're basically going, I just need to get to the finish line now. Whereas you look at Moose's Berlin and, yeah, he would have been starting to hurt, but he was also, you know, negative splitting and so pacing the race really well.
And
so
pulling in and, yeah, all that stuff, yeah. I think it all contributes. Yeah. The second part of Shane's question was also who has – this is interesting because we spoke about this at the end of last week's show. Also, who has the most impressive list – the most impressive list. I don't know if that makes sense. The most impressive list of PBs with 4% and without them.
Well, I've only ever run one race with 4%.
Yeah. I'm going to say Brad's got us covered there.
But is he... What was your PB for Biwa? 224.
Yeah, but I guess I'd never really... Like, it was Canberra.
Hey, mate, it's still your list of PBs.
Yeah, yeah. But is he talking about purely just the marathon or everything else?
I think he's talking about your whole rap sheet with 224 as listed as your marathon. Mm. That's an interesting, yeah. I think it's still Brad as well because, look, 66, 29, 29, 14. We're on par. He's got us smashed in the speed stuff, and then we're on par from 5. He's got us on 10, on par on half marathon. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't know, Shane. Brad, to answer your question, work out a point system or something. Go like 3, 2, 1. Whoever's got the PB, give them 3, 2, and then 1.
Well,
get back to us next week. Yeah, you're the biggest fraud. Definitely, yeah. But in saying that, like, look how many dodgy marathons you've ran where it hasn't been about time and stuff.
Yeah, but still, I'm running a PB on the track in a 4%. Like, That's unheard of. Like, that, it doesn't look good for the 4%, that's for sure.
It could be the same question saying who's got the best marathon PB without an international marathon. You know what I mean? Like you go overseas and everyone's going to run quicker over there.
Now, we're talking about 4%, so.
Yeah, I know. But someone write in next week, who's got the best marathon PB in Australia? Then it's Julian. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. You can flip these answers pretty quickly with the questions. Rightio, Moose on the loose. Go.
I'm not fully wound up about this one. So I'd actually, if anyone has any good Moose on the loose topics that they can maybe get me thinking a little bit, because I'm starting to get a little low on topics that make me angry, or that fire me up. So
what about people that get overprotective of their Strava settings?
Oh yeah, okay, great. So how about that? The guy
people name their Strava runs wrong. That's what I'm worried about.
Someone coming into town, they get very small town, Echuca, by the way, clearly.
25,000
Someone comes into town.
It's about triple this week.
Brady knows all about it. Oh, this bloke come today.
I don't even know he was in town.
Record. Absolutely firing on all cylinders, going bananas.
It's
on our message
out of the
group.
Bus here, bro.
This bloke just took my course record.
Yeah.
I'm going to be hitting this bloke up.
Run a fast run.
Went for a nice workout. Faster than you.
A nice workout. 1x400 is not a nice workout.
Wait, you know, Peter Snell used to do time trials all the time. You're allowed to do a time trial as part of your training. And it's probably the only oval in the town.
It is. Yes, correct.
Exactly. So you've got to do it somewhere. This is a bloke who's just rocked up, probably doing some charity work in town, helping. Comes in, does a bit of charity work, has to go for a run somewhere. Doctor, he's a doctor. Not a lot of time involved here. So gets out, maybe gets 10 minutes for a break between 14-hour shifts. Thinks, I need to make the most of it. I'm going to go run a hard time trial. Beats your time, which was probably like 74 seconds or something. Does it unintentionally. Runs a time trial, has a great day, thinks, oh, your beauty of truth is a nice place. I'll come back here. And now you've got a bloke like you turning him away.
Mm, yep. You know what's going to happen?
Terrible
Brady's
bloke.
Brady's going to go down, reclaim it, and then he's pretty much going to rope off lanes 1, 2, 3, and 4 forever so nobody can actually run.
Imagine what happens if someone's going to show up and do park run. He just won't even let them rock up if they've got split shorts on or they've got a singlet. Oh, no, you can't. This is my town.
Sadly.
Ruffle shop.
Yeah, there'll be boom gates at the entrance to the town where you've got to go through and list your PBs before you're allowed in. Anyone that's faster than him, no go. Turn around.
I love how Moose on the Loose on our running sheet says packing 4 trips, which has got nothing to do with what Moose on the Loose turned into.
Packing for trips? That's fucking boring. That is a terrible one. That's the only thing I could come up with.
How bad
and
is it?
It's not even that bad. It doesn't get me emotional at all. But a bloke like you trying to scare people away from his town, yes.
I'm all about
it. It reminds me of when I used to surf. Localism. You go to someone's break and they start bloody asking you who you are. Sending you in when you take waves, that's you in running. Don't go to Hawaii.
Point break. Point break.
Yeah. Go back to the valley, man.
Good one. This week's interview, Charlotte Wilson and Liam Adams. The partners in crime. They've been dating for a couple of years now. Charlotte won Run for the Kids and so did Liam. So we spoke last week how we're going to get them on for a conversation. And, it was really difficult to interview them, actually, because Liam was at Falls Creek and Charlotte was in Melbourne. And, I'm not sure if you guys have done we do a three-way interview with us three every week, but it's kind
three
of...
Three-ways all the time.
Three-ways week in, week out. And, so it was a bit of an interesting chat with those guys, hearing how the dynamics of the relationship work. And I tried to make it as even as possible, and I didn't want to spend too much time on one person or the other, so tried to give you an insight into both their worlds. We have had Liam on the show before, and Liam's been on Tell Me Your Tales for about 90-minute interview once before, so if you want all his background, go back and listen to that stuff, because we didn't cover any of that here. But it was interesting when we got a bit off air that Liam mentioned that Jock's under shorts. He does wear them, wears the briefs under his split shorts, but does not wear anything under his tights. So the complete opposite to what we spoke about.
Wow. Weirdo.
Interesting.
And I called him out for him when we did record that originally, and he said, yeah, that's me. I always have it hanging below my my splits. He'll have his briefs under there, and then, he finds that it keeps him well positioned. We spoke about the Adidas stuff at the end there, about his break with being sponsored by Adidas, which was good. And, yeah, I'm not sure if you guys follow him on Instagram, but he has been training the house down up there.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to go before the Con Games. Like, going to be run in Queensland, warmish, and I'm tipping Falls Creek the last few days has not been warm. I mean, I guess there's the altitude side of it, but there's not much of a group for him to train with. Surely there'd be a good group in the Gold Coast where there'd be some decent long runs getting run and some good sessions.
Yeah, I asked him about that, and I also asked him about, you know, the relationship between him and Michael Shelley and Chris Hamer, and if they talk about tactics or do they do sessions together beforehand, and yeah, his responses were quite interesting. I think people in general find Liam quite interesting because they might see him winning these big events and think he's this super elite athlete, but he's just a really down-to-earth guy who's just trying to just run as quick as he can over the marathon distance and win some races.
Yeah, good. I look forward to it.
Were you going to say something then, Brad, before I catch off?
I was thinking the same thing when I heard he was going to Falls Creek. I guess it's the trade-off at the moment between the benefits of altitude but maybe giving up a bit of that heat acclimatisation. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Yep. Enjoy that interview. What's happening this week, boys? Brad?
Well, I guess we'll be recording about me going to camp. So I've been to camp and, got a few runs in while I was away, which, is quite, as you would know, is quite difficult trying to train and being away. So I've been pretty cooked the back end of this week, but got Easter now to try and just relax for a few days. So that's, not too much to report, really.
Good. Julian, you're off to a wedding?
Yeah, off to Pistol's wedding up in Cronulla. So got to get a long run in Sunday, going to do a run Saturday morning and a run Friday night. So I'll be ticking along somewhere along there, beaches, whatever. Got to do a bit of recon.
Yeah, thanks to Pistol for all the work he does for the show. A good listener.
And actually, when's this show going out?
This show will go out Friday morning, maybe. Thursday night.
If anyone knows, long run, if anyone knows a good spot, I've got no car, so I'll be running from Cronulla. Where should I do my long run? Sunday morning. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some good insight from listeners. That'd be really handy if someone could let me know.
You're such a celebrity. I'm sure somebody will probably offer to pick you up in Cronulla and take you down to the national park.
How far is it from Sydney?
I'm pretty happy to just leave from the apartment. I just want to...
National Park's good. The National Park is good.
Yeah, but...
You'll be doing 38K or something, won't you?
Yeah, post-wedding ain't going to be good. I'd probably just want to leave from the house.
You could probably run from... If you're doing 38K, you could probably run from Cronulla down to the National Park and back. There's actually a... You go downhill to the National Park. It's a fair climb back out.
That could be good for the mountain goat over here. He likes the hills.
Yes.
I'll see what the listeners have to say.
Yeah, this will go out tomorrow. When we put it on Facebook, we'll ask some listeners to get in touch with you as well.
Cool.
Brad, you're teeing up some interviews for the next couple of weeks. You'll be busy on that as well. Fire up that Instagram account.
Got to pull my finger out. I probably won't fire up the Instagram account, but I'll try and tee up a few interviews.
Have we told the listeners about that? How you asked Jake Robertson for an interview and he's like, yeah, just hit me up on Instagram. Brad doesn't have Instagram. Yeah.
No, I do. I do. I got it set up like 6 years ago and I haven't posted anything. So I do have an account. And so, yeah, obviously if I'm getting Jake, I'll have to hit him up on Instagram. But you know me and social media don't go real well together.
He's is coming to Australia for the Con Games too. We could do one in person with him.
How? I'm not going to Gold Coast.
Well, we'll get some funding and fly her up there or something.
Yeah, all right, sort it out.
Sort it out.
Maybe Wongy can help us out.
Oh, yeah. The old China trip. No worries, boys. Stitch me up there. I'm not going by myself. I told you that. Because originally he only asked me to go in the first place. And then I asked him and said, can you two guys come as well? He's like, maybe we can make an exception. And you've both pulled out on me. I'm going to have to take Josh Harris or Andy Ellis. I'm going to have to, someone. I'll see what someone else is doing and get them a free trip to China because you guys are useless. What about?
I don't think Josh is not in a state to run a marathon.
Josh actually said to me, he goes, "Where have I heard that Oliver Wang name before?" And he'd actually already emailed Josh trying to get him over there. Yeah, that was Josh already knows about. What about Julian though? Just going over for a 5-week altitude camp over in the States, Brad.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Follow your dreams. I'd do it if I could.
This guy's just a high roller. What's your
save your money?
What's your handle on Instagram, Brad?
Question. Probably Brad Croker, Bradley Croker.
Is it Brad Croak? Croc? No, I don't know.
I don't know. I'll let you know next week.
Yeah, give me a username password. We'll start emailing Jake Robb. He's going to forget who you are, that's all. I'm just worried about you got to message him and he won't know who you are anymore.
Croaks.
Just go Croaks. Croaks. Here we go.
I think so. C-R-O-K-E-S.
Oh, are you on here, Julian?
What's up?
Are you typing this in as I'm talking to you?
No.
Yeah, my ex, so 2012, my ex set it up for me. So the only photos on there are me and my ex.
There's 5 photos and you're with your ex in every single one of them.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I was saying. 2012.
You got 84 followers. I think you got current listeners following you on Instagram.
Yeah, that's not my wife, by the way. That's my ex. Viv's asleep on the couch, so she can't hear any of this.
Jeez, pregnant ex-wife and she's got to put up with this stuff, Julian.
No, not my ex. Yeah. She's not my pregnant ex-wife.
Oh, yeah,
no,
sorry.
Pregnant wife
has got to put up with this stuff from your ex.
Did you?
He's got his shirt off.
You got a pregnant ex-wife as well.
I can't believe I've got 84 followers. That's amazing.
Check out that.
How many girls are you knocked up?
Check out that photo with him with his shirt off. Can you see that?
Jeez,
he's put on some weight there.
What's the tag? Never cared, goodbye?
No, that's not me.
It's just Croaks. C-R-O-K-E-S.
C-R-O-K.
Everyone's gonna. I'm gonna delete this. I think.
No, you're not. This is gonna be for Jake Robertson. You need this account.
I'm following one person. It's my wife.
Oh, look at that.
Your current wife.
Wow.
Yeah, current wife.
I'm throwing a few likes out.
Some of his photos: 0 likes, 0 comments.
All right.
You're going to have to get on here and put a whole lot of running photos up. So when you message Jake Robinson, if he looks at this stuff, he's not going to have a clue who you are. You're going to have to build a whole brand around yourself before you email him now.
All right, I'll sort it out. Leave it with me, actually. I'll get my wife to help me out.
Oh, there's some very weird photos up.
This girl looks familiar too, this ex-partner. Is she a runner?
I'm going to go. Yeah. I've got to go now. Sorry, boys.
That's a good place to end it. Enjoy this conversation with Liam Adams and Charlotte Wilson. Thanks to those two guys for their time. Have a good weekend running, doing whatever you're doing. Thanks, fellas, again.
Don't check Instagram because it won't be there tomorrow. Bye.
All right, Charlotte Wilson and Liam Adams, welcome to the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for giving up a bit of time on your Friday evening to talk a bit of running.
Thanks for having us, Brady.
No worries at all.
Cheers.
This was Julian's idea. I'll give him credit for this one. He thought it'd be good. He witnessed your performances both last weekend down at Run for the Kids and said we should try and get them both on for this week's podcast. So, it's all his thinking, this one.
Okay, I listened to that last podcast and heard his recap and kind of laughing at a few things he said because I remember a few of those things distinctly.
Was it accurate? It was good. He tends to talk a bit of rubbish now.
Accurate, yeah. I actually used it. I was listening to the podcast on today's long run, so did about
same, 20. Actually.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, it's good to know people listening to the stuff we put out. Very good, very good. Where should we start? Do you want to start with last Sunday? Because that was obviously a bit of a highlight for you guys the last couple of weeks, but probably might be important to tell the listeners straight up that although you guys are a couple, you're in two different locations. Do you maybe want to explain where we're recording from tonight?
Well, just after Run for the Kids, I went up to Falls Creek, and I'm doing a 2-week stint up here just to get some good training done. I don't know, kind of be a professional athlete for these 2 weeks and really dedicate my time towards some training. And yeah, Charlotte's still in Melbourne at the moment, so she's at home and she's probably got some good, lovely weather there whilst I'm freezing my ass off here at Falls Creek.
Won't get up there at all, Charlotte, keeping him company?
Planning on heading up there over the Easter weekend, but we'll see how that goes. Not confirmed yet. Yeah. I've seen that it's going to be snowing early next week, so if the weather's going to be cold, I might bail out on it, honestly.
Yeah, I reckon Melbourne sounds a bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
On Monday, it's supposed to snow, and the power's going off too for Falls Creek, so it's going to be a pretty good day up here.
Is it pretty lonely up there at the moment, like many people up there?
Not too many. There's a couple of runners here and there, but there just seems to be a lot of school groups and university groups doing camps and a bit of hiking up here, and seems to be a lot of car clubs which are just coming up the mountain and testing their cars out, and a couple of cars which are going through some testing procedures from what I see. So
I was watching your Instagram stories today, and you the helicopter was up there too, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're building a new lift at the moment, so I'd found that out a few days ago, and I met a truckie the other day, and he was part of bringing up some of the stuff here, and he had a semi-trailer load of stuff that he brought from Melbourne, and he came up here, it was about 6 or 7 at night, and he was just like, is there any place opened at the moment? And because there's not many people up here at the moment, and I just thought, oh, you could be out of luck here, and you might be going the night without dinner. So it's really interesting. It's a lot different to during the summer when there's 200 athletes up here all running and all really motivated, getting behind each other.
So did you look after him, like one of Australia's best marathoners, preparing for Comm Games, like just having dinner with a truckie?
Well, I was finishing off my run down to where I'm staying, and he's just yelled out to me, so I've stopped the watch and had a chat to him, and he sounded like he didn't really know the town too well, so I stopped the watch, walked up with him, had a chat. I'm like, I've been told the last hoot's open, so I walked him up to the last hoot, and fortunately the lights were on, and yeah, he was able to get a good feed. So if that wasn't open, then I'd probably would have invited him in for dinner, but I'm not much of a cook, so maybe I might have offered him some pie or something.
could have been an interesting evening. Charlotte, let's go to your race last week. Back to back, well done. Run for the kids. Were you pretty confident going in?
No, not at all, actually, because I've been on a 2-week break just before it. So training for the steeple, so 3K event, and then going into a 2-week break, I wasn't sure if I'd actually make the distance. But, all worked out well in the end.
Yeah, it's a pretty big step up, isn't it, from 3K steeple off the back of a break to 15K, pretty windy too, over some hills.
Yeah, it hurt a lot, I won't lie.
Yeah. I was talking to Tali Bird, who was second. She's from the same town as me up here in Chukamoama, and she said that she kind of caught a couple of glimpses of you late, and you looked like you were doing it a bit hard towards the end, but, yeah, still hung on for a good win.
Yeah, I got to the 10K feeling right, and then I just fell apart, and I was looking over my shoulder at every turn, and I saw her towards the end, so I had to get in another dig at the end and made it. But I reckon if it was another 2K or so, Tali would have got me.
And at that stage, because, like, I don't know, it's kind of a bit hard for us to comment on female races, but do you sometimes get caught up with the in the male groups and aren't sure if you're winning or second or third? But, like, did you know you were winning the whole race?
I did. I mean, in the female races, because we usually spread out, you're usually jumping with a group of guys, so it's actually kind of hard to see who, like when you're in front, who is behind, because if you look behind, you can just see a singlet. You don't know if it's a girl or a guy in it. But I could tell towards the end, because she was getting that close, that it was a girl, and knew that I had to go a bit faster.
Yeah. And time, how'd that stack up to last year's win? Because you did go back-to-back. We'll throw that out there.
Yeah, I think it was probably almost 2 minutes slower than last year. Started off well. Got onto a good group. I think it's about the 3K mark when you come out of the tunnel because it's really windy there. So I managed to get on a group of about eight guys, I think, so I had a good windbreak. That was all the way up to halfway on the Balti, which I think is about the 7K mark maybe. Yeah. And then started to fall off and had to grind out the rest of the way myself. But once you get to the top of the boulder, you have a downhill for about 2K. So I just tried to get through that bit, and then I knew that I could probably push through even with sore legs for the last 5K or so, but it did hurt quite a bit.
Yeah, and from your perspective, like, what's it like? I know you've done it before, but one of the biggest fun runs in Australia, like crossing the line there, and you know you're on the Win News that night and stuff. Like, what's it like kind of winning one of those major fun runs? They give you like a big check or something at presentations. It seems like it's pretty, you know, a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no, it's a good fun run. It's one of like the biggest ones that I've run, so it's a lot of good fun. Winning it with Liam as well makes it a little bit better that we both get the win. Usually, it's him coming home with a gold and me, not so it's good to both win. It's good fun. I'll keep doing that race for a few years to come, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good course, different course.
Yeah, and what's it like crossing the line? Like, how long does it take to hear word that Liam won?
Oh, he's usually there getting interviewed, so usually as soon as I cross the line I can tell that he's won.
Yeah.
He's quite nice. He usually waits for me to finish before walking off, so find out pretty quickly after Harry went.
That's a nice thing to do, Liam.
Oh, cheers. Yeah.
Stick around.
Oh, well, I'll see how she goes. So I'm always hoping for the best. And obviously the best way to find out is to be there at the finish line and see her cross. So, yeah.
Have you ever been getting interviewed for like second or third place before and Charlotte's come across and assuming you've won it?
Not sure. I don't know if there's been a situation where that's been.
I don't know if there's been many situations where you don't win races these days. It's
I lose many races.
It's pretty common that you're getting interviewed for the win straight after. What about your race, Liam? Talk us through, obviously Julian gave a bit of a recap, but yeah, give us a recap from your perspective.
Well, yeah, it's kind of similar to Julian's. Going into the race, I hadn't really had the best prep that week. Got a bit sick after Tuesday night's session and woke up absolutely horrible on Wednesday, went to work and just coughing my guts out and just had to have the day off from running on Wednesday. And then Thursday, you know, I only managed about 10 or so K. And then Friday, I only just increased it a little bit more by up to about 18. And at the end of that run, my quads and that were quite sore and my muscles were like kind of just aching. I think it's just the cold or the flu taking its effect. And yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm in trouble for this race. And the night before I got out a 30K run and felt all right. I felt like I was improving. So yeah, I was quite unsure how I'd go on that Sunday. And I just felt like I wasn't going to go into the race with the plans that I had. I wanted to target that race and run a super quick time, just give myself a lot of confidence going to Commonwealth Games. And those plans had to change just because I knew that I wouldn't be able to run as well as I could have. So I just had to back it off a bit and yeah, just see if I can hold on towards the end. So how it panned out was I went out relatively quick, which was a bit surprising, and I felt good. And then once we got out of that tunnel, I think we were running about 250 per K and we're on a pretty good pace, and I thought, oh, you beauty, I might actually get a solid time today. But once we got out of that tunnel, I just kind of pulled the handbrake on a bit. I was just like, oh, these boys just want to latch on to me. So I thought, all right, I don't mind slowing it down a bit. And yeah, no one wanted to take the lead. And I saw Julian, he was in no man's land. He wasn't too far behind, but the pack behind was a couple of hundred meters. So he was doing it by himself. So I thought, all right, if no one's wanting to take the lead. Let's get Julian back on and get this Nick Earl versus Julian thing happening.
Really set it up at the 4K stage of run for the kids.
Yeah, so I was having a bit of a chuckle about that. And I don't know, we were running quite slow. And I think Julian just had enough of it. He was just like, come on, boys, what the hell are you guys doing? So he started picking it up. And then I think we just started slowly winding it up. And then there was a couple of attacks. And then I decided, all right, I want to get something out of this race. So I made a move and got myself a bit of a break. And the Ethiopian runner got on the back of me, probably just at around the Balti. So I think he'd worked quite hard to get back onto me. So I wasn't feeling that great at the time. I thought, oh, no, I might be in a bit of trouble here. That was a silly bit of a sprint. So I was a bit controlled and going up Balti, I started feeling good. So, and I felt he was dropping a little bit. So I just started stretching him out and running a bit harder. So I got my break on the Balti and then surged down the Balti and got a bit of a lead. And I think maybe that effort that he put in to try and catch me costed him a bit. So that allowed Nick to get back onto him and fly past him towards the end. So it was a bit hard, that race, for me. It's quite tough, just coughing my guts out towards the end, but it still was a solid run. So I think it might have been a tad bit slower than 3-minute Ks. So it wasn't too bad. We went out quite slow. I think, as Julian said, I think he said our first 5K was 15:40, even though we ran our first 3K in probably about an 8:30.
Yeah.
So I think my split for my 10K was about 30:40, so something around that. So I picked it up a bit towards the end, so it was good to do that. So there's a bit of confidence to come out of that, and yeah, I feel like I'm getting over that cold, so all's going well at the moment.
Oh, good to hear. And the process for you, like, you cross the line, you run through the banner, you get a couple of TV cameras thrown in your face, and then, like, do you intentionally wait around to take a bit of an interest in how Charlotte's going and doing these interviews half knowing that you want to pay attention for the first female to cross the line? Like, talk us through that stage, because a lot of our listeners will never get to be in that situation where you've just won a major fun run.
Well, do whatever interview, whatever person wants me to do, I'll do whatever interview it is, even if it's someone in the crowd. Like, people talk to you in the crowd and they want to have a chat, so I'll go up to them, have a talk and all that stuff. So I don't know, it's kind of pretty good social aspect after the run, so I enjoy that, have a chat to all the other runners which cross the line. And I don't know, I know quite a few runners which were doing the event, so it's always good to see how everyone's going and have a chat and see how everything's going. And yeah, I obviously want to see how Charlotte goes, so I'd always be waiting around. Some of those other boys, they probably want to get their gear on pretty quickly. Well, it wasn't really, it was warm to start off with, but it was getting a bit cool towards the end of the race. So once you finish, Charlotte was freezing.
It's very cold.
Yeah, she needed to borrow a jacket after the race, and we'd parked our car a few Ks away. So the plan was to kind of do our cool down to get the jacket and that and whatever else, but we were required for presentation, so we had to wait around in our singlet and shorts. So
That's another thing that a lot of listeners won't know as well, that sometimes hanging around for presentations can be a massive pain and it can draw out. And yeah, you're right, you're still there in your racing flats kind of hanging around because you want to be at presentations for starters. It's good to hang around, but sometimes it can be a massive inconvenience.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of races where you do get looked after. A lot of the elite guys get looked after quite well, so you can get your bags straight away and rug up straight away and get your cool down done and then go to presentations. But I guess
we probably had the time to go and get our stuff from the car, but Liam was too interested in the food at the VIP tent that he got to dig into.
Oh, I've been there before, like the muffins and like the pastries and things like that. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Liam thought
so. Yeah, some good bacon and egg rolls and that, so I had to take advantage of that.
Is this before or after the cool down? Like, have you done a cool down this time?
Before the cool down.
Yeah.
I want to get to nutrition a bit later on when we start talking about Macca stops halfway through long runs, but we'll get there a bit later on. Yeah, so that's interesting. And what about before the race? Because I know, and my partner Carly will be able to testify, that I'm sometimes a bit on edge before a race and, you know, a bit short with her and things like that. But what's it like with you both of you guys going to the start line, obviously, well, trying to win an event? Like, is someone more on edge than the other?
I think as we both race, we both know that before the race, you don't want the other person, you know, talking too much to you or anything. You want to, you know, keep calm kind of thing, so you don't want to annoy the other person, so we kind of we don't ignore each other, but we don't get onto each other either, so it's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we kind of know each other's personalities and that, so I don't know, I don't think we ever really get at each other's throats or anything, so it's, I don't know, it's just a usual day really. We just treat it normally, and I guess we know each other's routines, so so don't interrupt them and stuff like that. Yeah,
it's just a usual day when you both go out and win run for the kids.
Well, not really.
It kind of is, though, isn't it? Yeah. Nah, very good. Well, Liam, let's get on to your Commonwealth Games preparation. I guess a lot of the listeners would follow you on social media and stuff. It looks like you're hitting some pretty big mileage and some pretty big sessions, and I guess Charlotte kind of playing the support role there with her 2 weeks break at the moment would be coming in handy.
Yeah, she really helped me out in with her 2 week break with her break that she had just before run for the kids. So she was out on the bike a fair bit and keeping me company. So I don't really have too many people to run with at the moment. So I might get Wallard to come for a few Ks here and there, and then Mitch has been really busy with work, so I haven't seen him for a few weeks, and then I'd go do a bit of a run with Charlotte, and she's only doing about 7K at the moment, so she's been jumping on the bike a fair bit and helping me out, and
being an amazing DJ.
Well, yeah, you've got a bit of a speaker.
She puts her songs on every now and then, and occasionally films it and puts it on social media and stuff. So, yeah, just saying, oh, this is Liam's favourite song or whatever else. This is the song he loves to run to, and, yeah.
And what is it?
I don't know. You'd have to ask her. She's got about 30 songs that she likes to play.
He loves a bit of the Spice Girls and a bit of Aqua.
Good work. Back to the 90s.
Yeah,
good tempo, gets his tempo up, so I reckon he does like it.
And talk us through some big sessions, Liam. I did see somewhere that had to abort one with a toenail.
Yeah, so with that session, Charlotte was also on the bike, and funny thing was, the night before she helped me out, she jumped on the bike for a 30K run that I did the night before, and that her bike got a little bit of a puncture, and the next morning we went outside, saw her bike was completely flat, so we grabbed my bike and pumped up the tyres, made sure it was all good, and during that session, her tyres went flat, so she was helping me out with the gels and drinks, because I used that session to kind of practice my gels and drinks, and it got to a point where I just had to do some loops of a 4K section of the river that I like to run, and we managed to get her tyre pumped up. I told her, oh yeah, ride down, there's a tyre pump 500 metres down, and she got her tyre pumped up and continued on, but then unfortunately halfway through my session my toenail just felt like it was being ripped out, and I was running well, but then the pace just dropped off a bit, and then the last probably 300 or 400 meters of that 5K effort that I was in for that session, I was limping, and I'm just like, oh, I got to pull the pin. I knew I had to pull the pin, but I just wanted to make sure I got finished that little effort off. So I was limping towards the line, and got the shoe off straight away, and it wasn't good. My feet weren't in good conditions that day. It was about a 33-degree day, and I think they were just burning like hell. So.
All good afterwards, though? Like, ripped it off and trained through?
I can't, because, I don't know, marathon running, it just screws your toes over. So I think I've got a couple of nails where, they get a bit of blood underneath them, and then it basically dies. So then another toenail grows underneath it, and then that just causes the issue. And so the toenail which was causing the issue was probably a dead one, so I just cut it right back, and that seemed to really help and alleviate the pain. But I had a couple of blisters on my feet that kind of ripped open it, and it was bare. It was red raw, so that was super sensitive, and it kind of still playing a little bit of havoc on my toe at the moment. It's quite sensitive still, but I'm still getting my runs done in that. But the days after that session, well, the day after I had to pull the pin on my long run, and then the day after that, I probably backed off the mileage a little bit more just to make sure that I wasn't doing any more damage to my feet. So I got through it and still managed a pretty good session on that Tuesday. It's a 5K, 4K, 2K session, and I was running some reasonable times. But then after that session, I got sick. So it was a horrible week and a half for me.
Yeah, well, it sounds interesting that you've kind of had a few like mini interruptions. Like, you wouldn't call them big layoffs or anything like that, but kind of a few little things that just haven't gone to plan, and but you still sound really confident, like, with this preparation going into the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games.
Well, that period of time kind of, there was an interruption, and I don't know, you kind of wonder if it's, you've lost any speed and fitness and whatever else, and my mileage was quite low, so it does play around with your confidence. And but I knew that I was coming up to Falls Creek, and I was just like, right, these 2 weeks, gonna nail the mileage, nail the sessions, make them really tough weeks, and come into this Commonwealth Games super strong and confident that I'll run well. So currently at the moment, I'm on target for my biggest mileage week, and been hitting some really good sessions, and the body's handling it quite well. So,
what kind of numbers we're talking? Biggest mileage week?
So this week didn't really start off too well. I started off with an 18K day on Monday, just because I was travelling up here and had to do some grocery shopping. And by the time I packed everything into the room that I'm staying in, it was about 7:30 at night. So I did this 18K run in the pitch black. And, I kind of couldn't really see much just because it was pitch black, but it was kind of amazing just the amount of stars and that you see out in the sky. When you live in Melbourne, you don't really get that type of thing. So it was kind of cool that, but just the fact that it was so dark and I couldn't really see where I'm going, I thought, okay, 18K is probably enough. And at the moment we're up to Friday now. So today I'm up to a total of 159.99 Ks. I checked it on my watch before, so I was thinking, today I'll get up to 160 Ks, and then by the end of the weekend I'll be at about 235, something around that. So I should hit about 235 Ks this week, I reckon.
Yeah, pretty big week. And just around the whole Commonwealth Games thing, Charlotte, like, I'm not sure if a lot of listeners know, but you actually ran a big qualifier and your number 9 all time for the steeplechase. So do you maybe want to talk us through, obviously you were trying to hit that A qualifier and you got the B but didn't get picked in the team, but then to be, you know, with Liam, who's named on the team fairly early out, how does that kind of sit with you?
Yeah, so going into the season, the track season this year, I just wanted to get the 10-minute barrier. I was trying to get it last year and I got really close, so I just had that as the same aim. And then I found out that the B qualifier was 9:58, so I was like, oh, might as well aim for that. I had a good start to the year. I hit the qualifying time twice, getting the B, still a fair way off the A. And then going up to nationals, you know, it, as you know, if you have the B standard and you win, you get an automatic selection. So I went up there hoping to have a good race and definitely didn't go to plan. It was just really hot that day and we were running at 2 o'clock. It was the peak of the day. I think I'm not sure why they programmed distance events that time. I guess they usually have nationals in April. It's a little bit cooler, but mid-February on the Gold Coast at 2 o'clock in the afternoon is not a happy time for a distance race.
And the humidity was huge too, wasn't it?
Oh, it was awful. You'd walk outside and just be soaking wet straight away.
Yeah.
And, so that didn't go to plan, but I already knew that I'd be going up to the Gold Coast to watch Liam race, so I guess I'll be there anyway, not competing, but I wasn't really even thinking Commonwealth Games at the start of the season, and so to get the B qualifier twice and to improve my PB was enough for me, and I guess we could, maybe I'll try and target the next Commonwealth Games. So I got 4 years to get that extra 10 seconds for the A qualifier.
Yeah, but even like World Champs and stuff next year, like it's got to be, is the steeple now your event?
Yes, I probably still need to learn how to water jump a little bit better before I could call myself a steeplechaser.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I won't. I still want to do the 5K and the road races, so not going to put not going to stop other events to do the steeple, but it definitely will be the focus in the track season. But still want to get 5Ks and potentially some more 10Ks in.
Yeah, and will you get to some of the track events when you're up at the Gold Coast as well, which will probably, you know, give a bit of fire in the belly to get there yourself in 4 years' time?
Yeah, hoping to see a few of the events. Not sure what days the tickets correlate to yet, what events are on, but should be good to be at a home Commonwealth Games and have everyone cheering on the Aussies, so be good to be there.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. And Liam, do you go from Falls, do you have to do a training camp up north at some stage, or what's your next movements?
Well, my 2 week stint was going to clash with the training camp in Mudgee that everyone's required to go to, but I applied to be excluded from the training camp, and I was approved for that. So I think a lot of the marathon runners have applied for this application to exclude them from this training camp, just so they can do their routines and that, just because you're the last event on the program. So to be in a training camp for a few days and then go into the village for another 2 weeks, I guess you're not really in your best routine whilst you're in these training camps and stuff like that. And you're also risking getting a little bit sick. So when I was in Florida for the Olympics, I got a pretty severe bout of gastro. And one of those days I spent the whole day sleeping just because I was in so much pain. And I didn't eat food for that whole day and cancelled my session and moved sessions around by a few days just because of it. So I don't know, people tend to get a little bit sick in these training camps, so just because everyone's at their peak fitness and your immune system's a little bit lower, so I felt that it's probably best to be out of those type of environments. And for me, I feel that altitude training really, I really do get a good benefit from that, so I felt that I needed to get a 2 week stint, not a week and a half stint at altitude. So when I was in Florida, I got a severe bout of gastro and had a day where I spent the day in bed just because I was really sick and had to move around my sessions by a few days just because of the effects it had on me. So I don't know. I tend to think that a lot of athletes, just because they're in peak fitness, their immune systems are a lot lower. So I think once someone gets sick, it spreads like wildfire. So I don't know, you got to be a bit careful in those situations. And for me, I kind of feel that a week and a half of altitude training wasn't going to be enough and 2 weeks was going to be ideal. So I applied for that application for exclusion and got it. And I'm planning to go up to Gold Coast on the Tuesday. I think it's the day before the opening ceremony. So I'll have just a little bit under 2 weeks up there to acclimatise and stuff like that. So I think it'll work out well, and I'll still try and hold some reasonable mileage in that first week, and then I'll go into a bit more of taper mode after that, yeah.
Yeah, and expectations around the race and stuff, like have you know, got a kind of position in mind or a time, or what are you thinking?
Oh, I don't have a clue really, sorry. I'd like to give you a time or a position. I think it is possible to get a medal, but I'd have to be in pretty good shape, and I'm not quite sure of the shape I'm in at the moment. So I guess it'll just have to come down to race day and see how all the tactics go. I guess I won't get carried away with all those fast surges that they did in Glasgow. There was a couple of Ks where I stuck with that front pack, and they were all just testing each other out. There was a couple of 250 Ks, and I felt good in the surge, but then they'd just slow it down, and we made a massive distance on the main pack. And I guess, as you probably saw on the TV, I was looking around going, what the hell are we doing? Just because we'd slowed down so much, and then the main pack would catch us. So all this hard work that we'd put in had just gone to waste. So after that, I just decided, oh, yeah, I'd tuck on Shelly. He's the smart one. He got the bronze in the previous Commonwealth Games, and he was the one to stick with. So, and ultimately, he was the smartest runner of the lot and ran over the top of everyone. So I don't know exactly how the race will pan out, but I guess I'll probably have to go off how I'm feeling on the race day, with how I'll approach the race and the tactics I'll use and what time I'll shoot for. But I still think that a PB's definitely capable of Commonwealth Games. I know that I can improve on my PB from Berlin. So if I can do that, then I should be right up there.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Michael Shelley. Like, do you guys communicate about what your training's looking like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks out, and talk about like a race strategy together and, race a bit of a team?
Well, I'm close mates I'm good mates with Shelley, and I could ask him some questions and he'd probably tell me, but I know that he likes to play his cards close to his chest, so I don't want to make him uncomfortable by asking him like how everything's going. That's probably about the extent I'll ask, would be how everything's going, and that I probably won't throw out there race tactics and that. We might talk race tactics close to the race, but it's up to him the way he wants to race, and I don't know, if we work together then we will, and I don't know if that's the case. And what happened in Glasgow, it worked out quite well with working together, and he went on and stormed home for the win. So we'll see what happens. I'll chat to him probably a bit close to the race, but we'll just let him do his thing, and we'll let Chris do his thing, and those boys look like they're in pretty good shape, so it's exciting. So it's exciting to be part of a team with that type of caliper.
It's an exciting team for sure. And Charlotte, like at your end, like do you get nervous and stuff leading into big events like this for Liam?
No, not really.
Yeah, you sound pretty chilled out.
I get excited because, I'm, excited to see how he goes, how he PBs, and, if he PBs or if he runs well and stuff. But before it, no, I don't. I'm pretty calm. Let him get all nervous. And, I'm pretty chilled.
Pretty good.
And I want him to do well, but I don't stress on it beforehand.
And is it a looped course? Like, you'll get an opportunity to see him a few times?
So I'm hoping to jump on a bike. I'm not sure what the foot traffic will be, but I was hoping to get on a bike so I could see more than just a section or two.
Yeah.
But then if the bike doesn't work, I guess I'll try and watch it on my phone, the bits that I can't see, but I'll definitely be trying to see more than one section. I think they go out north and then they come back down south and then head back north. I think the start and the finish is in the middle of the course, so I'll be hoping to see a few bits on the loops and then hopefully be at the finish not too long after he finishes.
Yeah, and yeah, it must get pretty emotional when you finish those big races and your partner's there.
Yeah, well, I don't think Charlotte's ever seen me race a marathon, so no. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's exciting.
The first one that I'm overseas. There for.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before.
I've watched plenty on the computer, some not in English.
On some dodgy live streams.
Trying to work out what they're saying. But, yeah, never seen him run a marathon live, so be good.
Well, you wouldn't have ran since your debut. Did you debut in Melbourne, Liam, in Australia? Was that the last time you raced on home soil? Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I debuted in Melbourne, and that was – Charlotte was over in America, so she was in college. And Charlotte's parents made the trip down to see me run. So, that was my first marathon, and that got me into Commonwealth Games. So I was overseas after that, and I think Charlotte was probably required to go back to America around that period of time, so she didn't get to come over and see me race. And then my other marathons have all been overseas, so this is the first time back on Australian – well, I'm back on Australian soil, and it's a major championship, so it's just going to be absolutely amazing having Charlotte there, family and friends there up there supporting me, and even just the Australian running community. So it's just going to send some shivers down the spine and hopefully give me that extra bit of energy to run out of my skin. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. I've taken up enough of your time already, guys, for Friday night, but I'm going to throw you a few quick fire questions. First one is, tell us about this Macca's story, stopping at Macca's 25K into a 50K long run. What's going on there?
Is that to me?
I'll take it.
Yeah, take that one, Charlotte. I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
She's going to say Liam is a fatty.
Yeah, Liam is a fatty. So I was competing at Lakeside in the Victorian State Champs, so he ran to Lakeside a little bit early, did a session with one of the guys, one of the Dunedin runners, stopped in to watch my race, and then afterwards, because I was done, I was deciding that I was going to get some Macca's, and he decided that he needed a mid-long run snack, so he joined me, and then literally as soon as he had finished his meal, walked out and started running home again. So
that can't be good straight for you.
Cheeseburger, chips, and two Cokes. He drank my Coke as well, and then straight back into a run. Asked him when he got home if he got a stitch, and he said he was fine. So,
well, I went straight back under 4 minute Ks and held 3:40s towards the end. So I was running all right.
Straight out the Macca's door into sub fours.
Yeah, no, I hadn't had breakfast before that as well, so I was getting a bit peckish, and Charlotte's talking about food, so start getting food on the mind. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I'll just test my stomach out and punish it a little bit and see if my body can handle it. I don't know, maybe
gut training for the gels.
Just justify it.
I don't think it matches what the gels would do to you, though.
I know.
He just wanted food.
I don't know, but running through that intolerance, like that stomach not tolerating it that well, I just thought, okay, if I can do that, then I should be able to do it during a race. If something goes wrong, if the gels and that cause a stitch, then I've had training in it, so I can try and push through it. So, but,
it's risky,
yeah,
though, because it worked well, so he'll probably want to do it most Sundays now.
All the time.
Nah. One-off's fine.
Very good. And Charlotte, what's coming up next for you? Like, you've just come off this break, you've won Run for the Kids, like the road season in Australia?
Yeah, I'm continuing my break because Run for the Kids made me a little bit flat, so I'll just do another 2 weeks of jogging and then get back into the sessions. At this point, the only race I've got in mind is the Gold Coast 10K. Never done that before, so I hope to do that. And then something later on in the season, probably Melbourne 10K, just so I don't have to travel or anything, a home 10K. And no, then that's probably it.
No marathon on the cards?
Oh, hell no.
No? Leave that to Liam.
I see how much I see how much mileage and training that those guys do, and it just doesn't appeal to me yet. I think eventually I'll try an Ironman, but a marathon on its own, I don't know about that.
Oh, so it's okay to ride 180K and swim 3.6, I think they swim 3.8. But,
3.8. Yeah, but you can do the run slower, though, if you've already done all that. So there's an excuse for running a slower marathon.
That's your triathlon background coming out right there, to choose the Ironman over a marathon.
Yeah, right.
I reckon I could pip or beat Liam in an Ironman, so it's actually a challenge that we're going to do, because I reckon I can get him in the swim and the bike. I just need to have a 45-minute lead going into the run.
45-minute be enough, you reckon?
Well, I'd hope so.
Well, heard your first on Inside Running Podcast. We like getting exclusives like this. So, we look forward to tracking through the progress there. And Liam, last one. I've left this last intentionally because I'm not sure how much you can say about it. But a few people had made comment about you racing in some different shoes and kit on the weekend. No three stripes in the four percenters. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, yes. Unfortunately, I believe I'm not being supported by Adidas anymore. So it'd been probably about 6 or so months. I think the last bit of contact was just before Berlin Marathon, where I got a pair of flats. And I don't know, I've ran quite low in shoes for this training period leading into Commonwealth Games, and I kept sending messages with no response. So just before Run for the Kids, I sent a message saying thanks for all the support over the years, and geez, it kind of sucks not having that support. It was such a good thing, but so kind of without that sponsor at the moment, Steigen's kind of helping me out with some socks and that, so they've been good. And you boys keep talking up these 4%ers, so I thought, why not give them a crack at Run for the Kids and see how they go. And, it looks like I'll be wearing them for Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, right. So just no communication back. Like, that was it.
Oh, no communication back. So even with the thank you letter. So I don't know. Maybe there's some loss of connection there. My emails aren't going through or whatever. So, but I just needed to get some shoes. So bought the 4%ers and bought a couple of pairs of Adidas shoes as well. So I knew that they were good for the feet. I knew what the shoes I'm used to, so I thought I'd get a couple of pairs and to stick with what I'm used to. And then I guess after Commonwealth Games, I might be trying out a few new pairs of shoes and seeing how they go. And We'll see what happens with the future. But, yeah, currently no sponsor in that. So,
Watch this space. That's going to go out to a few people who are in the running industry. And, hopefully we can hook something up for you, because, you can't have one of your number one marathon men in Australia running around with no shoe sponsor, because you're doing a stack of Ks and we need to make sure there's some fresh shoes on your feet every month.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
terrible, actually, that situation occurred. But we'll move on. Where can people follow you guys on? Oh, sorry, mate, were you saying something?
I guess that's probably the state of running at the moment. I don't know.
It's quite sad, isn't it, that's come to that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Thanks for shedding some light on that, though, because it's a bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff that a lot of our listeners wouldn't get exposed to regularly.
No problems at all.
Where can the listeners follow you guys on social media and stuff? Got any handles you can give us?
For me, it's just Liam Adams Runner, and just on Facebook. But I guess I just post a few things on Instagram every now and then. I don't know. I kind of stick clear of Twitter. I tend to think that I'd probably get myself in trouble if I had Twitter. That I shouldn't say. I don't know. I kind of go with the thing, opinions are like arseholes. You shouldn't bear them in public. So, I don't know. I'd probably get myself in trouble. So, I kind of tend to stick clear of Twitter. So, I don't have a Twitter.
Yeah, smart thing. And Charlotte, if people want to keep an eye on your running, where could they follow you?
Just the Instagram, CharlotteJane22. But it's more just about how much of a fatty Liam is, to be honest.
We just put up pictures of him eating all the time.
Basically, consists of a lot of that.
I'm sure the listeners will get a bit of a laugh out of that as well. Well, beautiful guys, thanks for giving up some of your Friday night for the Inside Running audience tonight. We really appreciate your time, and yeah, good luck for all the stuff coming up in the future for both of you guys.
Oh, cheers. Thanks, cheers. Brody.
No worries at all.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Pain. Now I hear you say you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin. Doesn't matter if it don't